Blog Talk Radio.
At Olive Garden, nobody loves Alfredo quite like we do. We make it from scratch using simple ingredients like garlic, butter, cream, and fresh Parmesan. So you can enjoy it poured, twirled, or dipped. From that irresistible first taste to the final creamy bite. With our one-of-a-kind Alfredo, the possibilities are endless. Olive Garden, we're all family here.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Genesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Oh,
Welcome to Another Work Is Done, a product of WBNN Network, and we are broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. I am Pastor Kev, thanking you for tuning in tonight. As usual, and as often, we have another thought-provoking, spirit-moving, uplifting word that we're going to talk about tonight. So feel free to call in, 516-453-9133. If you want to listen, press 1 to be a part of the conversation tonight. Tonight, on The Work Is Done, we're talking about bitter roots. You know, one of the things that I have come to really realize, especially in my life, and you guys know that, you know, from listening to me, when you tune in, one of the things I try to be as transparent as possible, because I really truly believe that as a pastor, you can't help somebody get through something if you yourself have never been through anything. You know, so a lot of the teaching and ministering I do oftentimes is from a personal perspective, you know, using my life, using the things that I've gone through, the victories that I've had, the struggles that I've had to overcome, so that somebody out there who's listening can also understand that, number one, you're not alone in anything that you go through, and number two, that you can overcome. You don't have to be the victim. You don't have to be the person who is, you know, lost with feeling that you have no hope, that there's no way out for you, because there absolutely is. And, you know, once you learn to trust in Jesus, that's the key for me. That was the start of knowing that I could be victorious through anything that I face. So when I'm talking about bitter roots, understand that every experience that you had or that you will have in your life has planted a seed in the garden of your life. Every experience, good or bad, has left a trace, it has left a seed. Now, what happens is that seed now begins to grow. Some of them turn into flowers, some of them turn into trees. And you look back over the garden of your life, you know, everything is not all doom and gloom. You've had some great experiences, and you know you can look out over the garden of your life and look at this session like, man, I remember, you know, the good times that I may have had as a child, or certain trips that my family have taken, certain things that happened to me while I was in school, whatever it is. You look over that and you have those good memories. But then there's the other section in your garden where the memories aren't so pleasant. And, you know, you remember some of the hardships, some of the struggles. But what I'm talking about as far as bitter roots is those people now who you have encountered through your life who have either scarred you, marred you, or caused some type of trauma in your life, and that seed was planted and it was never dealt with. And anytime you don't deal with that particular seed, it begins to grow, and sometimes it can grow to what amounts to be one of those big, giant redwood trees. You know, those are some of the biggest trees in the world, the redwoods. Some of the trunks are so big you can drive a car through it. That's how big that tree can be. And we try sometimes to overlook it and act like the tree is not even there. You know, and one of the things that I had to come to realize is that I had a tree still growing in my garden that I had cut down, but I left the stump. And if you've ever cut down a tree, you know, I remember one time at our house back up in Philly, we had a holly tree with those pointed leaves. And my son and I, we went out there, man, we cut that thing down. But we just cut it down. We left a stump that was about 3 feet in the ground. Over time, that thing started to grow again. This is what happens when you don't fully uproot the bitterness in your life. If you leave any trace of it, that thing will start to grow. It'll start to grow. And you'll start to see, you'll start every time that situation comes up, every time, whether it's a person, place, or thing, every time it comes up, you'll still feel that same hurt, that same pain, because you never uprooted it. You may have cut down some of the branches, you may have cut down some of the trunk, but you never really got to the root of the problem. And because you never got to the root, that thing still lingers in your life. So I want to read to you tonight a scripture from the book of Hebrews. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I'll give you some time to get there. Hebrews, chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 25. Well, actually, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 14. Look at what it says here. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace. I actually want to read this from the New Living Translation. It says, work at living in peace with everyone. See, you, some of these things, you just got to work at it. You can't just look at it and say, take for granted, like, you know, oh, it'll just get better. I'll just sit here and wait for it to get better. No, these things, it takes work. You have to work at living in peace with everybody. And that's sometimes easier said than done. We all understand that. We realize that. It's not always as easy as it may sound. But if you apply it, if you apply yourself, anything that's worth having, it's going to take work. All right? So it says, work at living with peace. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other, so that none of you fail to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. Well, where does that root of bitterness come up? Where would it even come from? See, it comes from that trauma or that hurt, that pain that you experienced in your life, whether it's as a child, and it was, you just never dealt with it. You tried to sugarcoat it. You tried to cover it up, act like it wasn't there. And, you know, just the mention of a name, just the mention of a place, just the mention of a circumstance triggers that whole thing as if it just happened. And see, that's why the Bible tells us that we have to go and make peace with people. We have to work at living in peace. If you have aught with your brother, the Bible says to go to them and try to squash it, try to make sure that it's settled so that that bitterness is not found in your heart. It's not found in your heart. See, you can't worry. And here's the thing, too, because I talked about this on Sunday. You know, when you hear people say forgiveness is not for the other person, forgiveness is for you. That's true to a sense. It is, you know, it is for your benefit when you forgive somebody, because you release yourself of that pain, that hurt. But, you know, sometimes it can also benefit that other person, because that other person, you know, the hurt that they caused you, whether intentional or not, you know, hurt people hurt people. So whatever it was that they were dealing with or going through in their lives that caused them to hurt you, you know, they need to know that they've been forgiven. Why? Because here's the thing. Look at how God is with us. Now, I can't give you any better example than that. So, you know, God, when he forgives us, it's not for his benefit. He's not benefiting from forgiving us from our sins when we confess. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That is not for his benefit. That's for ours. So if we say, while on this earth, well, if you forgive somebody, it's not for their benefit, it's just for yours, that's being selfish. Because that's not how God is with us. He doesn't forgive us for his benefit. He forgives us for our benefit. We reap the benefit of his forgiveness. And people need to reap that same benefit from us. If there's anybody that you're holding something towards, you know, you're holding this anger, this resentment, this bitterness, frustration, unforgiveness, you have to make it right with them. You do, not just for your sake, but for theirs also. And again, easier said than done. Some people may not even still be here. The person that hurt you, they may have gone on. They may have transitioned, you know. But that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, wholeheartedly forgive them. And here's how you know that your forgiveness is true. Because when that name comes up, when that situation, that circumstance, when it comes up, you won't feel what you used to feel. You won't feel it anymore. That's how you know you're operating in true forgiveness. See, so I can say, you know, at one point, I was operating contrary to that. I had said the words, I forgive, but my actions didn't line up with that. Actions didn't line up. So every time this situation, every time the name came up, I was right back to being mad. I was right back, oh my goodness, right back to that. And it wasn't really affecting the person. I was being affected. That's why you got to make sure you get yourself right. And then go to that person. Forgiveness is possible, but if you don't deal with these bitter roots that you have in your garden, it doesn't matter, you know, how good you say you are. It doesn't matter how often you go to church, how much you serve in, how much you, you know, participate in. Look at what it says here. He says, you know, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Part of your forgiveness, you forgiving others, is part of being holy. And you don't want to get all the way to the door, to the gate, and can't get in because you've done everything else but operate in forgiveness. And this one thing that Jesus said, forgive and you shall be forgiven. So we got to get to that point where we learn to forgive. Where we learn, and don't say, you know, like the world says, I forgive you, but I'll never forget. Well, that's not true forgiveness. That is not true forgiveness in no sense. That's just really still operating in unforgiveness. You can't have partial obedience. Partial obedience is still disobedience. No matter which way you slice it, no matter which way you look at it. If you're not going to do it right, don't do it at all. Don't do something halfway. I mean, if you got kids and you tell your child, you know, you have a son, you say, go outside and cut the grass. and they go outside and start playing. You be like, man, what happened? I thought you go outside and cut the grass. He said, well, I went outside. Yeah, you did half the job. You went outside, but I said go outside and cut the grass. I didn't say go outside and play. So you can't operate in half obedience, partial obedience. But that's disobedience. And you have to make sure that if you're going to do something, you have the right motive, you have the right heart, you have the right mindset to make sure what you're doing is correct. All right? So this is The Work Is Done. We're talking about bitter roots today. Call in tonight, 516-453-9133. Call and be a part of this conversation, and we'll be back right after this. Yes, we're back with The Work Is Done. We're talking about bitter roots tonight. Feel free to call in, be a part of the conversation. You know, one of the things that the Bible tells us to do in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, this is what it tells us. It says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. So he's telling us that we got to share in each other's burdens. So what does that mean? That means when you know or when you know somebody or either yourself is operating in with these bitter roots. He says you should gently, humbly go to that person to restore them. See, this is why I said forgiveness is not just for you. It's not just for you, because that person who needs to be forgiven, you should be able to go to them gently and humbly because they were overtaken in some kind of sin, and now through your forgiveness, they can also be forgiven and know that they can still be right with God. So that's why it works both ways. You can't just look at it and say, well, you know, I'll forgive you from over here. I'll just say the words, but the person never knows that they were ever forgiven. They never know it. You know, even when my dad was alive, my dad, you know, I've shared this with you guys before. My dad wasn't really there for me when I was coming up. You know, at one point in my early 20s. I had so much resentment for this guy that I wrote in this letter. I was like, man, you know, my nickname for him was San, S-A-N. That stood for sorry ass nigga. That's what I called my father. And, you know, because I had that much resentment towards him. And I had to realize that maybe him not being a good father wasn't his fault. Maybe he didn't know how to be a good father. Maybe his father wasn't a good father to him. So I had to learn to break the cycle. Because that bitterness that I had was really consuming me. I was being consumed by it. And I had to get to that point, to that place now, where I really had to forgive him. But here's the thing. Even though I forgave him, he never really felt forgiven. Because he would talk to my sister and like, oh, I wonder if he's still mad. And she would tell me, I would go to him like, Dad, that stuff is over with. Now you got to work on forgiving yourself. See, because when people know that they've done you wrong, they know it. Some people truly have regret behind that. You may think they don't, but some people, you see what I'm saying? Not everybody. Some people, they have true regret behind that. So you can't just say in your own little space, oh, well, I forgive them. No, they need to know that they've been forgiven so that they can work towards forgiving themselves. And you can't have the mindset, well, I don't want them to be forgiven. And then think that you can still be right with God with that kind of mindset, because you can't. Bible says, he says, how can you say you love God but hate your brother? How can you say that? And you got a lot of people out here who are saying it. Can't stand him. I can't stand her. Oh, they get on my nerves. Oh, they do this and they that. But I love me some God, though. And I'm in church praising and jumping and shouting and singing and doing all that stuff. And you think God is honoring that worship? No. He's not honoring that. You can't say you love God, but you have this hatred, this disdain for other people, even the person that wronged you. So, you know, I had to reassure my father, man, it's all good. I ain't mad no more. I'm over that. But even if he heard me ministering it, trying to help other men who had daddy issues, other women who had daddy issues, he would think that I was still talking about him that I was still mad. Like, nah, man, I'm just trying to help other people get past the hurdle that I had to get past. That's what ministry is. Helping the next one go through or get through something that you've already been through. And I will use that. You guys will know I'm telling you, if you listen to me, I'll give you my personal experiences. I'll be transparent. Because somebody needs to hear that. Somebody's dealing with this stuff right now. And they need to know, man, I got problems with my dad. I got problems with my mom. I got problems with my brothers and my sisters. And I need to know how to get past it. Because the bitterness that I'm feeling is consuming me. And I can't go around family holidays or, you know, I try to keep my distance. All you're doing is hurting yourself. You're hurting your family too, but you're hurting yourself because you're not even happy. You're really not, you know, living the best life that you can live. So he tells us here, he says that we have to share each other's burdens. Now here's the thing, here's why people don't want to share your burdens. Because he also tells us in James chapter 5 verse 16 that we should confess our sins one to another. Here's the thing, It's not confessing your sins to somebody for so that they can forgive you. No, they can't forgive you of your sins. It is really talking about having somebody to hold you accountable. That's what he's talking about. Confessing your sins one to another so that somebody can hold you accountable. But here's why we don't do that. Because you keep telling your business to the wrong people. And as soon as you tell them your business, man, they can't wait to go out and spread it. Oh, guess what this person, oh, guess what they said. Oh, you wouldn't believe what they said. So now you can't even fulfill the word of God in your life by going to other people because, number one, you should be praying and asking God, who can I go to and share this with? Who can I go and share this burden with, this problem? Who's not going to go and use it against me and attack me with what I told them? Not going to take this information and then take it and spread it all around the church or all around the family. No, I need somebody that's going to operate with some type of integrity, some godly integrity. And that's part of what's wrong with some of these so-called Christians. They have no godly integrity. They gossip, backbite, slander. They do everything, you know, that the Bible says are the fruits of the flesh. You know, gossip, slander, backbiting, you know, all that negative stuff. That's what they doing. And they think that, you know, they right with God. See, that's what, you know, I'm telling you, Jesus, it's a lot of people that's just going to be shocked. A lot of people going to be shocked. Jesus said, you know, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. He says, it's going to be a lot of people that are going to be saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You don't want him to say that to you, though. But it's going to be a lot of people that's going to be shocked because they think they're doing the right thing and they're far from it. That's why, I had to do this assessment of my own life. I had to start looking out in my garden, the garden of my heart. I had to start looking out, man, do I have any more bitter roots that's been hiding I uprooted it, but all I did was cut it down? I had to go through the garden and really be honest and take an assessment. See, some of this stuff you can uproot by yourself. But you got them redwood trees, them roots right there. See, you need the help of God to uproot that stuff. See, the small stuff, he'll allow you to handle by yourself. But them big trees, oh, no, you can't take them down by yourself. You need help. You need godly help to take them down. But it's possible. You got to tell yourself, it's possible that I can forgive that person. It's possible that I don't have to carry this hurt around, this anger, this bitterness. I don't have to carry it around anymore. Man, it was, you know, one dude, I'm mad at him for almost 20 years. Almost 20 years been mad at this guy. Don't you think it's time to get over that? You think it's time to let it go? Well, see, when you're not thinking about it, it's all good. But like I said, it's not until the name come up. Then the name come up, then you bring back all that because he hurt my trust. So you got to go through and be honest when you're looking at what's in your garden. You got to be honest. What's in there that doesn't need to be there? What's in there that's blocking the path? You're trying to, you know, when you walk through the path of your garden, there should be sunlight and sunshine on all the areas. But you got some dark areas and you got some routes that you don't even go down. Because you know the tree is there, but you don't even want to take it up because you got comfortable dealing with that hurt and that pain. You've gotten to the place now, you just accept it. You don't even want to take it down because you've gotten comfortable with it. That's the danger about having that type of sin nature in your heart. You get comfortable with it. You remember in Genesis chapter 4, when God talked to Cain, he said that, you know, sin is at the door, man, and it's desirous to have you. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Cain when we come back. We'll be back right after this track. That was the award-winning gospel vocalist duo, the O'Neill Twins. Jesus is back on the Jericho Road. Hey, this is The Work Is Done. I'm Pastor Kev. We're going to go to the call lines. We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, peace and blessings, Pastor.
Hey, hello. How are you tonight?
Hi, this is
Mr. Bessie. Oh, I can barely hear you. Your phone sounds like it's going in and out.
Yeah, it's Sister Bessie.
How you doing, Sister Bess? How are you tonight?
All right. I'm enjoying your program this evening. I wanted to ask you one question. Yes. Do you feel that the Christians of today are different Christians that, you know, when I grew up and when we grew up, is there, are they living the life that was taught, you know, in the church? I'm noticing a lot of things that's going on in the church, and I would like your opinion on it.
Well, I definitely see that. I would say that there is definitely a difference. And that's part of the scripture that I was reading tonight. When he talked about holy living, a lot of what goes on today is really just acceptance. You know, people think that, you know, they can establish their own righteousness to get to heaven. They can be who they are, act like how they act, or say what they want to say, do what they want to do. And they think that as long as they feel as though they're right, as long as they feel as though they're a good person, then that's what gets them the ticket into heaven. So one of the main differences in today's believers as opposed to what we saw growing up, I think, is that commitment to holy living. Because you got people now, you know, oh, they go to church all the time, but yet they shacking up. They're not married. They're living together in sin. But you can't tell them that. You know, you got pastors who won't preach to it because they want the bodies in the seat, so they don't want to preach the truth. They don't want to preach hell and fire and brimstone and all that stuff like we used to hear coming up, because they don't want to offend people so that people leave the church. So people now, they just, hey, come as you are. And, you know, and I don't have a problem necessarily with the come as you are, but if you coming and the way you are is contrary to the word of God, then you're coming, you should be coming to effect change. Not that I'm trying to pronounce judgment on you, because I have no heaven or hell to put you in. But I have to teach and preach the truth of God's word. And if the word of God says that you're wrong, then you're wrong.
What I see in people today is that they feel like what they do will get them in heaven, when the ultimate judge is the Creator. On that judgment, you assuming that what you do will get you into heaven, and that's not what it was taught. You have to follow the rules also.
Well, and again, the word of God says, you know, when people try to establish their own righteousness, he says it is as if they're filthy rags. You know, and people think that they think that whatever they're doing, they come up with their own plan, their own method to get into the kingdom. Oh, and it's really apart from God. A lot of people think that they really don't even need God to get there.
Right.
So, you know, none of us are perfect in anything that we do. None of us are perfect, and he doesn't expect us to be perfect. But at the same time, we can't establish our own way of getting into the kingdom. He's already established that. He's already given us the blueprint of how to get there.
Yes.
So if people are thinking that, you know, they can do whatever they want, because you know how people say, you know what they say nowadays, well, God knows my heart. I hear that so much. That's just the best. I hear that so much. Yeah, and he does. He knows your heart. He knows, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, he says your heart is evil continually. Yes, he knows your heart. It's evil.
Yeah.
The thoughts and intents of the heart are evil continually. That's what he told the children of Israel. But still, He gives us a way out of that. But you can't just live your life any old kind of way you think you want to live and then still call yourself a Christian, still call yourself a child of God. Because that's what I was saying earlier. There's going to be a lot of people that's going to be fooled. They're going to be shocked when they get there.
That's
right. He's going to say, apart from me, I never knew you.
Yes. Because the Bible does give examples of people that was deemed to go to heaven, you know, like Enoch, Moses, you know, different people. They give examples of who actually went to heaven in the Bible.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So,
and you got to pat yourself after somebody and not just after worldly things.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much, Pastor. I'm so glad to hear your voice. And
Listen, thank you for all you do.
I
appreciate you when you call because you always come with a good question. You come with something that's going to be thought-provoking, you know, just so that people can understand, you know. And that was such a good question tonight, the difference between today's Christian and as opposed to what we saw coming up. That was a great question. I thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm the front porch with Sister Bessie. I will be on the 16th. And you have a blessed evening, Pastor. I'm going to continue to listen to your program. Thank you so much for all that you do.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Bessie, for calling in. Yes, tune in on the 16th, everybody, to the front porch with Sister Bessie, the truther, and get some truth in your life. That's what we need. We need the truth. And, you know, here on this network, WBNN, you know, we have a plethora of hosts. And it's something for everybody. We have something for everybody. And again, that was such a great question that she posed tonight. And again, one of the differences that I would say from today's Christians and what we've seen coming up, you know, They taught this, what we're talking about tonight. They're talking about this forgiveness thing. They talked about it. They taught it. They talked about it. And they were examples of it. And, you know, the body of Christ in general as a whole has really kind of diverted from living according to the true word of God. There's been a diversion, if you will. I don't know when it happened, but you can see it. You can see it steadily happening. And a lot of things, you know, some of these things I've already addressed here on my show, because for me, I have no governing body above me, man in the human form, should I say, that I have to answer to. You know, I'm not a part of any major church organization where, you know, I have to worry about being censored. I have the freedom to come on here and tell the truth of God's word, not my truth. I'll share my truth. I'll share my testimonies. But my job is to share the truth of God's word. And whether you like it or not, that's irrelevant to me because my job is just to give you the truth. It's up to you what you do with it, what you hear it. I have to do what he's called me to do. And once you hear it, you are now accountable to what you have heard. You are now accountable. Because you can't say, you know, when you stand before the throne, you can't say, well, I didn't know. Nobody told me. I didn't know I was supposed to do that. No, you are now accountable for what you hear. And tonight we're talking about these bitter roots that people have, you know. And I was honest. And if I'm really honest, I'm still digging up that one root. I'm still digging it up. And here's the thing. I can be honest enough with myself. Honest enough with myself to share that. I'm still digging up bitter roots. And it's when you deny their existence. I said we want to talk about Cain. When we came back from the last break. Genesis chapter 4. I want you to hear what God said to Cain. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. This is after Cain brought his little whack offering to God. Cain, Abel's offering God accepted. Cain just thought he could just give God anything. See, again, it's a heart issue. That's what it is. What are you giving to God? Because he is absolutely looking at your heart. Do you think you can just do whatever? That's what Cain thought. And when God didn't accept it and Cain got angry, look at what God said to him. He said, "Why are you so angry?" The Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right." You have to do what's right. It's not just you do what you want to do. Act how you want to act, feel the way you want to feel, say what you want to say. No, he said you got to do what's right. He says, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. See, that's what happens when you don't get rid of those bitter roots. They're just crouching at the door. And they're eager to control you. When you have that bitterness, it's really controlling you. Because that's what I was saying before. You know, this is how it controls you. Your family's having a family reunion, but you won't go because a certain person is going to be there. That's today. You're being controlled. You won't even go and enjoy the rest of the family all because there's one person is going to be there. See, and some of you probably never even looked at it that way. But you are being controlled. It's eager to control you. But look at what he says. You must subdue it and be its master. You don't have to be controlled by it. You don't have to live by it, be controlled by it. You can overcome and subdue it. But you have to be honest with yourself. That assessment. I mean, when I say take the assessment, I mean this is that honest part where you're being honest with yourself, because that's whose opinion really matters. It's not really the opinion of other people. But see, you can put on all the fake masks and all the fake airs that you want to put on. But when you take that mask off at night, guess who's there looking at you? You are. That's why you got to be honest with yourself. We got another track by the legendary international DJ Hall of Famer. We'll be right back.
Oh,
some of the things we need. Because Lord have mercy on me. Hey, we're back with the Workers Dining. We're going back to the call lines. Caller, welcome to the Workers Dining. What's your name and where you calling from?
What's up, Rev? This is Clev One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
checking in.
Okay. What's going
on?
Yeah,
man. I've been listening real close, you know what I'm saying? And I see you laying it real heavy on them, you know what I'm saying? And you're trying to get some semen on these people here. And I just wanted to, you know, elaborate on what you was doing. And just to add on, you know what I'm saying? You know, this is some advice from Clef One, you know what I'm saying? And these are suggestions, folks. If you are a person that is on your path to righteousness, to piety, if you are an individual who is in seek of piety, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to establish yourself on some type of straight path because you want a relationship with who created you, which is who created everything in existence. Right, so the whole thing about it is, people, if your choice to this salvation and to this path is if you're gonna do these things and you feel as though you need to start with the Bible, then this is what you do. Any book that you pick up from first grade to 12th grade to any grade after, when you pick a book up, you start from chapter one. You know what I'm saying? Then so, and then forth, and so on, and so on. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't change. With anything, any information that requires for you to learn something from it, it requires for you to read it. How you read books, how we read books, and the establishment of reading books is to read it from beginning to the end. Whether the end begins from the end, and the end of the book is to the beginning, you read from the back to the front. It's still how you read the book is from the beginning to the end. And folks, in this book, you read the laws of this book. You read the laws of this book, meaning that this, you read who placed the judgments in the courtroom, who put the courtroom on this earth, you know what I'm saying, where the courtroom started. And the courtroom started with the commandments. And people, there's 613 of them, if you didn't know that. And this is where you need to start. You need to start there. If you're on your path, start where the beginning is, folks. Start where the rules are, folks, so you don't get confused with which are rules and which are not rules. Because the rules are in the front of the book, and according to who's responsible for the list of these rules is a man named Musa alayhi salam. People know him as Moses. And according to the last time I checked, God spoke to him directly. So I'm going to say this, and the last time I checked, Jesus said everything must be fulfilled according to the laws of Moses through him, meaning that what he was on was through the laws of Moses, meaning if Jesus was on the laws of Moses, then I guess that what that means, folks. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street side of Philadelphia. We're out here to build the bricks up, stand the sticks up, taking back the wilderness. Check your satellites.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. But listen, before you go, I appreciate your words. But if you can, if you're able, has there ever been a situation in your life where you had to really and truly uproot some bitterness and forgive somebody?
Absolutely. I'll tell you this. One time, this is my last time of incarceration. I had some running with some police officers. You know what I'm saying? You know, I had a history of, you know, I'm being incooperative with them. However, this last situation, they were, you know, it kind of went in a manner that didn't befit the situation. Make a long story short, several police officers got Bruce Lee in the precinct. You know what I'm saying? Of course, I was the one with the most injuries at the end of the day. They got weapons. You know what I'm saying? And more so, they could have blown my head off in there, and I would have been another statistic, you know what I mean, on the news or whatever. Either way, it wasn't decreed to go that way. But however, at the time of this, you know, I had, you know, I fought these cases, you know, while incarcerated and while injured, you know what I'm saying? Had to get staples on the back of my head, you know what I'm saying? They cracked the skipper open in the mix of the tussle, you know what I'm saying? One of them hit me with a flashlight, a gun, or whatever it was, you know what I mean? But I felt angry at them, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't, it was, the hands of evil was brought by them, but the hands of evil, I brought it on upon myself. I might not have been doing nothing that night, but that was hands of evil that was I was touched with. That was a form of punishment that was casted upon me because of my disobedience. You know what I'm saying? Whenever that was for. So, but before I came to that conclusion and just found peace with the situation, you know, I tried suing the police and doing this and doing that. I had several different lawyers on it, and I hated them for that. You know what I mean? But you know what I did? I didn't forgive them, but I forgave all the people that, you know, that in turn that I harmed in the process because be seeking their forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it kind of really was just all one in turn, all together. You know what I mean? It made me face reality and humility. You know what I'm saying? You know, just the whole seeking of the forgiveness, you know what I mean? When you harm someone, first ask for forgiveness because this is something that you shouldn't do as a human being, harming anyone. And then secondly, the second part of the repentance is that you ask forgiveness from that person and then remorsefully feel that you will never return to this action ever again. You know what I'm saying? This is the full line of repentance, people. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, understand in lines of forgiveness, verily God is all forgiving and most merciful. So who are we to not forgive and be merciful upon one another? I'm Clever One.
Hey, man, listen. Clev, let the people know when your show is.
Oh, yeah, folks, you know what I'm saying? Listen up because the countdown is real. You know what I'm saying? It's like the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So we looking at the 7th here, next month here. So we got a few days to prepare, you know what I'm saying, because I'm going to go ahead and lay it heavy. I'm a, you know what I'm saying? Get they better get their notepads out for this stuff here.
All right. Now, listen, I got to say this before you go. I'm born and raised in the city of brotherly love. Born and raised in West Philly, 601 Market.
Oh yeah! Shout out to all my elbows, all my elbows. You know what I'm saying out here. You know what I'm saying the L line. You know what I'm saying elbows out here, elbows on the tracks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but check it out though. I've been a Dallas fan all my life. Go Cowboys!
Holla at you, Rev. Check this out, Rev. One last thing, Rev. If I catch you in Philadelphia, I will tackle you with your Cowboys jersey on. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, brother. Hey, listen, that's Clav One. He's one of the new hosts here on WBNN Network. I want to thank him for calling in tonight. Thank him for his words. And listen, you know, I thank him for having the courage and the boldness to share his story about his encounter with the police and also recognizing his part in that. And see, and all this is wrapped up in what we're talking about tonight. You know, when we're talking about these roots of bitterness. But sometimes that's why I said you have to do this honest assessment. What part could you have played in that, in whatever it is that you're bitter about? What part, and not saying that you had a part, you know what I mean? Because I understand there are a whole lot of different situations out there. But he recognized that he did play a part in what transpired. And sometimes we do that. We do have a part. We do have a say in some of the things that may have happened in our lives. We may have made the wrong choices at some point that put us in a situation or predicament that caused us or caused somebody to harm us or to betray us. We may have put ourselves there. And we got to be willing to hold ourselves accountable for our own actions and not just be willing to point the finger at everybody else as if it's everybody else's fault. You know, and see, I love making biblical references. That's what Adam did. See, this is where we even get this nature from, of how to blame people. That's what Adam did. It started in the garden. Adam, did you eat the fruit I told you not to eat? Well, the woman you gave me. It was the woman's. Matter of fact, God, it was your fault because you gave her to me. You see how he had no accountability, no responsibility for anything that he did. All he wanted to do was pass the buck. And we got to stop doing that. You got to start taking accountability and be responsible because guess what? You have made some of those decisions. You made some of those choices to go certain places, to do certain things. And now you reap the harvest of the seeds that you've sown. You're now reaping that, or you reaped it back then. And that's not the case for everybody. I just need you to understand what I'm saying. Because, you know, if you were molested as a child, that wasn't your fault. That was not your fault. But it is your fault now, today, if you're still allowing it to control you. That's your fault now. Because you're the one who's still carrying that. And you got to learn to forgive. Just as God has forgiven you, you have to learn how to forgive. And then you can sit there and say, well, it's not fair. It's not right. Is it fair that God forgives you of everything that you've done? Is that fair? You know, I love that movie, The Shack. I love that movie, one of my favorite movies. When he went to see Wisdom, and she said, okay, you like to judge people, now you choose. You choose who lives or who dies. Because that's what she said, that's what you think God does. So you choose. It's a different thing when the shoe is on your foot, and now you got to be the one to forgive. See, when it comes to being forgiven, you want people to forgive you. You want God to forgive you. But when it comes to forgiving, oh, see, now you got all kind of excuses on why you can't forgive. All these roots of bitterness. All these things is controlling you. Because you have the power to make a difference now. You can't go by what happened when you were 5. You can't go back to what happened when you were a child. You can't go back to what happened in that abusive relationship that you were in. What you can do is you can affect change now, today, by simply forgiving. Because, man, when I look back on, you know, I wasn't always a pastor, I tell you that much. I already told y'all I was born and raised in Philly. I already told y'all, man, listen, I didn't always walk this way. I walked down some dark roads. So I understand. I know what God has forgiven me for. I know what he's done in my life. I know where I would be had it not been for the grace of God. I know where I would be. And you know, and I don't even want to put him on the spot, but even on some of my broadcasts, Brother Ove has come on here and shared some of the things that he's done in his past. He understands. He knows what it means to walk in the grace of God. Having parents, having grandparents, who were pastors and leaders in the church, and still we went out there and walked down some dark streets. So, yes, I understand what it means to be forgiven. And if I know what it means to be forgiven, I should also know what it means to forgive. Hey, we'll be back with the work of Don right after this. This has been The Work Is Done. I am Pastor Kev, and I want to thank Brother O, the legendary DJ, Brother Oski. Tonight's soundtrack featured the iconic gospel vocalist duo, the O'Neill Twins. So I want to thank him for the awesome music tonight. I want to thank everybody out there who took the time to out your busy schedule just to listen to what God may have had for you. And hopefully you can take what you heard tonight and apply it to your life. Really do that assessment, do that inventory of your heart to make sure that there's nothing in there that's going to hinder you from being who God has called you to be. You know, and if you have you know, any kind of art, any kind of resentment, hatred, unforgiveness towards somebody, you know, pray about it, and then, you know, forgive them. Forgive them. Because I can't tell you the freedom that you'll feel, that you'll have when you do that. So tonight, you know, I just want to open up for anybody who may have gone through something traumatic, and you may not know how to get to that next level of forgiveness. Well, don't try to get there by yourself. That's why we have a Lord and Savior. And the Bible tells us that he was tempted on every side, just as we are. So, you know, Jesus knows what it means to be betrayed. He knows what it means to have people turn their back on him. He understands that. That's why I tell you, you're not by yourself. So if you really, truly want to, you know, get past the hurt, get past the pain and everything, allow him to help you. Just simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. As you forgive me, help me to forgive others. Thank you for saving my soul. Be Lord of my life. Cleanse me of unrighteousness. Help me to stay on the path to the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you said that prayer tonight, listen, I'm with you. I want to partner with you. I want to encourage you. I want to uplift you. I want you to know that you are victorious and you can live a victorious life. Don't settle for mediocrity. Live life to the fullest. And thank you for tuning in to The Work Is Done. Now let's bring on the man, the myth, the legend, Brother O.
Pastor Perry, I truly enjoyed the show tonight, talking about bitter roots or roots of bitterness. And wow, I really liked the part where you talked about how Adam pointed the blame at Eve for the sin that he committed. And so many men, they use that scripture where Adam say, well, Lord God, that woman you gave me, you know, made me eat. And so a lot of men want to point the blame at other people, and not just men, you know, people in general love to point the blame at someone else instead of taking ownership of what they've done, because they're the ones that made that choice. Although people may present different things to us, but it's up to us whether or not we're going to actually carry it out and commit that sin. And we know it's wrong, and yet people will blame other people for their mistakes and for their choices, their wrong choices, and people have to stop. So I love it, Pastor Perry, because tonight you told people they need to take ownership and be held accountable for their own actions and not blame others for what they're doing. So I love that. I really love that. I'm Chinchilla Jonisi, everyone, and I'm Commissioner here at WBNN, and right now we're doing Ngozi Time. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Malewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? Oladele.ngozi@my.com for our mothers and fathers' favorite producer, Oladele Malewe Ngozi. I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Now back to the Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry, and join us for News Forum by the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J. Yes, that's me. Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. right here on WBNN, Eastern Daylight Time, or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. Stay tuned. Now back to you, Pastor Perry.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you also for your words. And, yes, we have to stop pointing the finger. And, you know, I'm going to have to do another message on that because you spoke something out. And I'll be real brief. You spoke something out about how men like to use that to blame women. And there are still a lot of religions out there who keep women, you know, really as second-class citizens. And they use the Bible to do that. And I don't agree with it, but that's going to be something for another time. Hey, listen, we did the discipleship, you know, the call for discipleship. So only thing that's left to say is, hey, I'll be back in 4 weeks with the work is done. And until then, peace, love, and blessings, everybody. Holla at you.
Give me water.